It was as if Sean and I had broken him, and in a way, I think we did. All I wanted to do was make it right. Fuck my heart and the trouble it caused me. Fuck me for knowing what getting involved with her would do to him and falling anyway, but I haven't been able to bring myself to regret it.
I love you.
My eyes pop open as though she's whispered it directly into my ear. Those last cutting seconds paralyze me to a place in that alley, thousands of miles away, to an unreachable point in time where I exist in purgatory.
I want in. Please let me in.
You are in? You're in too deep, baby. Fuck. I whisper as a flash of lightning fills the room and sleeping forms light up around me. Another rainy day without her. Running my hand through my cropped hair, I move to sit at the edge of the bed, skin slicked with sweat due to the useless unit recycling moldy air in the corner. Clenching my fists, my heart jogs into panic mode at the idea that she'll be leaving Triple Falls when the summer ends. She's 20 now, her future about to kick off, and if Roman kept his word, she's a millionaire. Her world is still wide open, her options limitless, while mine feels like it's starting to close in on me. As promised, I cut every communication with her. We've been flying in the dark for the entirety of our time here, and the kicker, it's voluntary. If a case for a silver lining could be made, it's that we've made good progress in our time here. I've met relatives who've enlightened me further about my parents before they became parents. The stories are wild, and at times unbelievable. About Delphine as well, who had a colorful past, too. I now know she omitted parts of it to spare me, but those details had me making peace with a lot, and I'll make it a point to let her know that. Tobias and I had it breezy compared to her. To this day, I can't believe she survived what she has. For that, she's earned my respect. Lightning flashes again, filling the room. A rumble of thunder follows as I crack my neck, muscles fatigued from my earlier struggle today. We successfully executed our last coup before our return to Triple Falls, one we've been planning for weeks. I had a close call, wrestling with a fucker twice my size who spit putrid breath and French in my face before I managed to get my barrel to his chin and end his tirade permanently. Sean and I both passed on the celebratory dinner and drinks offered, much to our chaperone's dismay. While Sean sleeps above me, our designated babysitters, Julien and Albert, snore in their equally lumpy bunks on the other side of the room. All of my roommates are in an exhausted sleep that I've failed to follow. Julien has been my biggest ally in my last 6 months here since we made our way from the southern coast of France to the outskirts of Paris and, as of a week ago, moved to this dumpster hostel within the city. Even though our stint in France is voluntary, as the months passed, we seem to go from remote areas to eventually graduating to a city. Maybe a tactic of Tobias's to inform us wordlessly that we're gradually earning his trust back. In that respect, we've fucking earned it. Credit where it's due, Julien is the one who's made this time for us most fruitful. Fresh out of his 5-year stint in the French military, Julien was brought in consideration of getting inked by Armand, one of Tobias's French raven partners. Julien sparked my interest immediately with his calculated moves and the fact that I got little past him, not that I tried much. After doing a little digging by way of Albert, who, frankly, is too fucking slow on the uptake to cover Sean and me, I found Julien's military training and impressive education made him a prime candidate and recruit for me and the purpose I armed myself with when I got to France. That said, Julien's a stubborn son of a bitch, so much so it's sometimes comical. It took me almost a week to get his attention in private to try and convince him of whom he was guarding during his grunt work phase as a recruit of the club. To convince him that I was the brother of the man behind the curtain, the half-French, half-American ringleader running this show. He clearly saw us as no more than two arrogant American assholes in their mid-20s that he had to monitor for reasons unknown to him. I let him in on that secret. He's not much of a romantic and comically berated me and Sean for it for hours. It was hilarious. Once I finally got through to the fucker, my instincts paid off in spades. By day, as we did our recon on Raven Marks, he also helped me gather some much-needed intel I'd been lacking and in search of for years. It was also when I realized how far Antoine had his hooks into my brother and what leverage he holds over his head. Tobias not only strengthened the French Fucks organization in return for minimal help, certain connections and privileges, but he's also made it the strongest and most feared underground kingdom in France. By reputation alone, no one will dare cross Antoine, and it's Tobias's goddamn fault. He's fucking created a near indestructible army, and if he so much as steps in the wrong direction with Antoine, the landmines my brother himself set will blow up in his face. We aren't going out like this. I refuse to let him be beholden to this sick fuck. He wants me nowhere near Antoine. It's clear why. I'm my brother's only weakness. I believe Antoine knows it, no matter how good Tobias's poker face is. In turn, Tobias has become a monster's puppet. For me. A fact I cannot turn my back on. A fact that hammered that guilt nail in, cementing me here to serve my time and rectify the situation. Julien is key, because he's not at all on Tobias's radar. A grunt on the bottom of the bird chain, Julien can slip out at any time unnoticed. We don't work like other organizations with death threats until the ink dries. Even then, it's not a blood-out situation. With Julien and I diligently working to put a plan in place, as of today, we cemented a long-term strategy to get my brother out of Antoine's clutches and bring him down while taking over the army Tobias himself built. In a matter of a year or two, Julien will be the first undercover raven to infiltrate Antoine's army. Once established there, he'll start the recruitment process to lure in other ravens to create an effective sleeping giant. When awoken at the most optimal time, sadly for Antoine, it will be game over. This giant to serve the same purpose and be just as effective if executed properly. It will take time, but it will work. Sean's aware of it, and as soon as I can safely brief Tyler, he'll be the only other to know. But the sadder truth of discovering the flip side of my brother's world is the condition in which he lives. A soldier without a true home, with absolutely nothing but the moves he makes and the hands he continually plays. I full-on fucking cried when I realized what lengths he's taken to get us to where we are, along with the depth of his perpetual loneliness. That the luxuries he claims to love might be a mirage or an attempt to mask the isolation he must feel. A hobby that came out of necessity to bide what little time he doesn't spend taxing himself with keeping Antoine happy and our noses clean back in the States. Though Tobias's warmth isn't perceptible to any naked eye, its existence is far more prevalent than mine, and these people he surrounds himself with aren't his fucking people. His heart is useless because it's only his mind he fuels. 14 months ago, that was me. I hate every facet of his world here, and I'm convinced he does too, suffering in silence and trapped with no sanctuary, no comfort in a sound like the scratch and flip of a new page. No cloud to immerse in, limbs tangled in damp skin, hair tickling my nose, fingernails raking my chest, and soothing murmured words. He's never had the escape of getting lost in love's deep blues, in sinful lips, in a scent so addictive it immediately gets him hard, or the gift of how breathy moans that reek of praise make a man feel invincible. If he only knew what it felt like to be looked at the way she fucking looks at me. Her dark blue eyes searing through flesh and bone as if she could see every part inside and appreciate each one, no matter how well some of it works and some doesn't. Of having a woman who fucking understands him and refuses to let him back down from who he truly is, of freeing him. She sought me out, fed my starving heart, and resurrected it. She dragged the weakening organ out, kicking and screaming. But it's out, and it steadily beats for her. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. There's no going back. This shit's not reversible. You can't unlove someone because you're ordered to. His belief that it's possible shows how immature his heart is. He may oppose the decision, but my heart had already made the fucking choice before I began serving a minute here. I chose my brother the night he sentenced us, and every day since, the guttural burn that I carry keeps telling me it was a mistake. You chose wrong. Hell's true definition is living out the wrong decision. My jaw clenches with the realization as I stare up at the black molded ceiling of my prison, my shackles invisible, but there. If I walk out of this hostel, I'm free, but if I do, I'll never be let in again. It's a mindfuck, and one I no longer want to participate in. Hurting him that way broke something inside of me, too. Something between us we may never be able to get back. And that's on me, so I've done what I can to fix it. But he's tearing me apart and seeking satisfaction. Because he doesn't have a fucking clue what it's like to feel it, so he doesn't understand his current demand. Cecilia would never let me forsake my relationship with my brother. Her heart is far too evolved. But sadly, Tobias's isn't. Lightning flickers through the shadows and I rip my earbuds out, listening for the thunder. It inevitably sounds a few beats later, rumbling throughout the room as the faint stream of David Bowie playing between my fingers reminds me of a time I lay beneath a starlit sky with the woman haunting me. With our silence, has she washed her hands of us all together? Quietly dressing, I slip into my boots, grabbing Julien's burner, which he now leaves for me every night. In my mind, these days, weeks, and months have been pointless, and every single one has felt like the sentence it is. I feel like my heart can only resume its rightful beat when I'm back in Triple Falls, and my brother can look me in the eye, until I can find her hand in the midst of this shit. The time we spend together is starting to feel more like a distant daydream, and the worst part is, the longer I stay here without her, the more it will remain one. Even when we get back to Triple Falls, I won't find her on that street, waiting. Or is she? Shutting the door behind me, I trek down the hall, making my way out of the hostel and into the storm. She probably hates us both for deserting her without promise, for not fighting Tobias harder, for remaining silent. We aren't helpless. We could have refused to come and engineered a new way to move forward and around my brother. Being here is a choice, remains a choice, a pledge of allegiance, and most importantly, an apology. One he deserves. But at this point, I'm getting pretty fucking sick of apologizing. I'm not afraid to go head to head with whatever waits around the corner, but I'm terrified her hand will no longer be there when I reach for it. Abandoning cover, I let the rain surround me, my skin eagerly soaking it in like it's been starved. Every day is starting to feel like a day too late. There's a panic that snaked its way in the last few weeks and is beginning to fester in my chest. And it's changing. Right now. We left her mind racing and her confused heart gaping. Any vulture that comes along now is likely to devour her, to pick at her piece by piece until there's nothing left. The idea of her moving on makes me physically fucking ill. The thought of that has jealousy rooting deep. I have to get to her. Tobias is just going to have to accept it. She deserves more than being left on a deserted street with a shady explanation. If this time has taught me anything, it's that I know exactly who the fuck I am and what I want, and I don't have to have my brother's permission to have it. Time fucking served. Sentence over. Without another thought, I press send on the burner phone, and he answers on the second ring. Dom? Tyler, I rasp out, freely bleeding as her voice whispers through the rain.
I love you.
Tyler, I fucked up, I relay as the water sheets down around me, thunder rolling down the quiet residential street. I hear the concern in his voice. What's going on? Muting myself until I can speak, I feel his anxiety spike over the line. Dom, I need a favor. More silence, and we both know why. He's already walking a thin line with Tobias and knows exactly what I'm about to ask for. You'll be home in a week, he reminds me. I don't give a fuck. I've done nearly 10 goddamn months. Don't you think that calls for a little fucking acknowledgement? He was here yesterday and didn't fucking bother speaking to us. I don't even know if it's worth this shit if he won't even talk to us anymore. Things won't be the same no matter what we do. Why the fuck am I even here? Dom, he says in a tone that insinuates I should know better, and I do, but fuck this. You saw him. I did, and he was inconsolable. Aside from the day of my parents' funeral, I've never seen him cry. Even then, he was alone when I caught him, but my decision is made. If he wants to live like a fucking monk for the rest of his life, that's on him. You know that's not why. I slam my fist into the mailbox next to me. What the fuck am I supposed to do? You're doing it. Hang in there. 7 days and you're home. It's not just me. I snap, thinking of Sean and how the time here has altered him. I'm not even sure he recognizes the changes in himself. Sean's... he's not doing good, okay? I wonder if he even gives a fuck. He does. It's been all over him, he assures. Closing my eyes, I try to reason with myself to wait. What we're doing fucking matters, and matters a lot. We broke the rules. You can't break the rules in our club. No exceptions. At the same time, my pockets are empty and the price is getting too high. I need this, Tyler. I know what I'm asking, man. But I need this. Name it. I grip the back of my neck in relief. Get us the fuck out of here. Right now. Dom, it's a week, and I'm calling it. Time served for good fucking behavior, but I'm telling you right now, if I'm not on a plane in the next few hours following him home, that will no longer be the case. It's time to have this out with him and figure it out. I'm not asking him for permission anymore. You know we've done our part. Get us the fuck out of here! Closing my eyes, I hear the guttural plea in my request. Please. I feel it. The urgency, the crushing itch to get back to her. It's been there, but it's never been this strong. Even as I think it, my gut tells me it may already be too late. If he finds out, it won't be good. You sure about this? That's where you come in. Just mute our watchdogs for enough time to get us home so we don't have to deal with it. I need you to work your magic and make it quiet and painless. I'll explain myself to my brother when the time comes, if I fucking feel like it. But I'm telling you, the longer I fucking stand here, the more I resent him for it. I honestly don't give a fuck what his reaction is anymore. I man up in a way I never thought I would or be inclined to. I fell in love. And it's not a fucking crime, and you of all people know it's non-discriminatory about the fucking who. How is she? Silence. We're fucking grown-ups, Tyler. Let's stop with the bullshit. I don't fault you the same way you aren't faulting me right now. How is Delphine? She just got her last scan done, and we get the results tomorrow or the day after, but she's gone almost 11 months without a sip, he relays, pride clear in his voice. You're fucking kidding me, I rasp out, emotion getting the best of me. 11 months, which means she was already sober when I took her to Pretty Place. That was the change I noticed in her, and Tyler was the significant thing that happened. Emotion burns in my chest, my eyes stinging. She was sober. I don't know what to say. She kicked it, Dom, not me, and she's still fighting. She's fucking happy. The back of my throat burns. Good. You both deserve it, especially her. We all fucking do. And my bill here is settled. I'm not paying for it another goddamn day for loving her. Do you hear me? Tyler's lingering silence sends my mind racing. What? What aren't you telling me? There's a direct flight leaving in a few hours. Relief washes over me as my eyes catch on a woman taking her dog on a late night walk. She's carrying a Louis Vuitton umbrella and matching leash. I decide I'm never coming back to France. She draws closer on her heels, her mile-long legs encased by thigh-high shorts. Her thin top has a little bow that lies in the middle of the cut in the chest, showcasing ample cleavage, primed and packaged. She looks buzzed as she passes me, her gaze lingering enough to know she's fair game. When our eyes meet, she smiles an invitation as she passes, her frizzy dog leading her down the street. I can't remember the last time I really looked at any woman, save one. Dom, book it. An hour later, Albert is hooded as Julien gives me the dip of his chin in farewell before he's covered, just as Sean lands next to where I stand. Glock trained on those apprehending our babysitters as I bat his arm away before he can focus and fire. Little slow on the reaction time, brother, I chuckle as I pull my duffel from beneath the bed as our babysitters are dragged from the room. Sean turns to me, eyes wide. What the fuck is happening right now? Get dressed and packed. We're fucking going home. I'm the man who would step in front of a bullet for either one of you, no questions asked, but I'm also the man who held your fucking hands before I shaped them into fists. I'm the same man, up until I met her, who put you both above everyone else. But right now, who am I right now? I'm the man who loves her enough to not let anyone or anything in front of her. Tobias, the finish line. 43. Slumped against the door, head tilted back, eyes fixed, I absorb the night noise. Cicadas sound in the distance in serenade with the crickets. The rustling of trees announces the light wind before it filters in, cooling my skin as the scuff on my outstretched boot becomes magnified by the filtering moonlight. I miss none of it. Where the world used to blur and time lapsed past me unnoticed, I'm fully attuned to it now. Aware of every ragged breath I draw along with the distorted beat that steadily drums in my chest, despite its current inhabitable state. The overwhelming burn in my throat intensifies as I keep my focus while the ache webs its way through every vein, pumped further in by every broken beat. The cool breeze whispers in again, gliding over my profile and arms, cruelly denying a shift in temperature, lacking any sign of a storm. There's not a single cloud in the moon-absorbed sky. A convenient view accessible to my right, a view that I reject with my whole being to keep the one I have. I have no use for the heavens anymore. No more questions to ask the cosmos, no future to ponder because they delivered my fate today. A future without rain. Without her. As it turns out, hell isn't discriminatory about geographic location, but is, in fact, a state meant for me to endure wherever I may roam. That truth made evident today when it faithfully followed me home to watch me shatter on impact. It was the sight of his Jag parked behind what we could only assume was Cecilia's Jeep that tipped us off. After Sean and I shared a loaded look in the driveway, Tobias's laugh reached us where we stood, ringing out from somewhere in the backyard. The sound of it drew us in and had us creeping through the gate, past the pool and garden, only to be slammed by the sight of what greeted us. Closing my eyes, the sting intensifies in my throat, the thump in my raw chest serving as a reminder while the image of them surfaces. Cecilia lying beneath my brother, wearing next to nothing. Tobias, bare-chested in his briefs, staring down at her like she was everything he ever wanted. It was apparent by the intimate exchange that they were more than familiar with the other physically. With timing being everything, it seemed Sean and I arrived in the nick of time to witness them in the midst of falling and confessing, my brother's declaration being the first. You warned me not to fall in love with you. You said you wouldn't make room for me.
You told me you wouldn't.
Cecilia's heartfelt reply served as a sledgehammer, driving in the reality playing out in front of us. I didn't have to see the look in her eyes to know she was giving her heart to him, a heart that could never be mine again. So, when he opened his mouth to voice his reply, I took the opportunity to personally deliver his karma. Grunting through the pain, I shake my head to try and disperse the sight of them. To no avail. So, this is heartbreak. The word seems weak in comparison to the feeling. Obliterated feels more fitting. Insignificant, as well, in the sense that it seemed our time together meant fuck all to her, at least from where I stood this morning, watching her give her love away. To my brother. My gut feeling in France had proven to be on point, and as I feared and deep down knew, I lost my place with her during and because of my absence.
Where have you been?
That question hadn't surprised me as much as the discovery that the man I looked up to my whole life, whom I respected and revered, was only too happy to keep that answer hidden so he could take my place. My brother stole my ignorant bliss. The hardest part? I let him. Eyes stinging, I scrub my face against my t-shirt sleeve to clear my vision, unwilling to lose a second of the time I'm stealing. My anger for my brother can be easily conjured, but my fury for her is much harder to find. Cecilia had been just as blindsided today. If I hadn't seen her learn of his deception, hadn't witnessed or heard firsthand the lengths Tobias went to in an effort to keep her in the dark, then maybe I could hate her. But I did see it, along with her fight to remain upright, visibly shaken by the sight of Sean and me. There was longing mixed with incredulity in her eyes, like she had been starving for the sight of us but never thought the day would come. That was proof enough that Tobias failed to take either of our places in her heart. Even if that's a fact, it's too late. Too late. Keeping my focus, I draw another jagged inhale as her confession rings clear in my ears.
I waited for you. I made myself sick. I cried for you both every night for months. I waited and waited, and you never came for me.
Though I credited myself with personal growth before we landed, I lashed out at her in a mix of hurt, anger, and jealousy, which Cecilia rightfully called me out for. I turned my back on it all then, and she cried out. She called after me, begging me not to go, the same way she had in that alley, pinning me with the same words.
Don't, Dominic. Please don't go.
Even if I lost my place with her, she still didn't want to give up on me. She wanted to understand what happened, and more so, how I could walk away from her. From us.
You mean to tell me you've been waiting this whole time to come back to me?
I chose wrong, I admit hoarsely, drawing my knee up and resting my forearms on them while gritting my teeth through another blow. My brother purposefully led her to believe we left her by choice, making her think it was our decision. That was the last nail in his coffin, and we all felt it hammer home. I thought that was the worst of it until Sean nailed Cecilia with both accusation and statement. You love him. She didn't deny it, because she couldn't. It was obvious my brother found his salvation in her the way I had, his refuge. Only last night, I was in that hostel feeling sorry for him, pitying the fact that he had no idea what it was like to experience reciprocal love. He knows now, along with how terrifying the idea is of losing it, especially losing her affection, her, period, which is my current reality. I fucked up. I choke out, palming the back of my head, trying my best to absorb the break happening inside me. My brother's heart may have matured, but by his actions tonight, it was obvious that when it came to Cecilia, it had grown into something dangerously possessive. He had come to King's frantic, begging us not to withdraw our protection one second and condemning us the next. You two idiots parading around like men, like soldiers, when you don't know a fucking thing about sacrifice. And with her, you sacrifice nothing, not a fucking thing. Until you know what that is, you aren't capable of being the man she needs. And you know all too fucking well that you lost her the minute you shared her. That blow was for Sean, and I knew he felt it before Tobias fixed his gaze on me. And chose this life over her. Guilty of all of it. Tobias had succeeded where Sean and I failed. He chose her. He put her first, before himself, before the club, before us. I lost the best thing that ever happened to me because of that failure while discovering one of the most damning truths about the four-letter curse, about love, which is that you don't know how significant or powerful it is until you lose it. The breeze kicks up, increasing the sting on my face, and I'm thankful for the physical pain, even for a second, to detract from what's happening inside me. Gathering myself from the floor, limbs heavy, I walk over to the bed. With every step, she comes more into view, and it's the sight of her, so unnaturally still that crushes me. Moving a pile of folded clothes to perch at the edge of it, I soak in every inch of her sleeping form, knowing she won't rouse because of the drugs pumping through her. Because Tobias carried through with his threat and marked her. I pulled up in an attempt to stop it just as I spotted Jimmy's SUV. Jimmy was the one who inked us all, and I knew the second I saw him pulling out of Roman's gate that I was too late. Too late. Too late, and my brother wasn't even fucking here. He didn't even give her the choice. He just claimed her. More to add to the list of shit I can't forgive him for. Staring down, I drink in her perfection the way I have a dozen times or more as she sleeps, as she dreams. And for a time, she was mine. She was mine. Visions flood in as I watch her chest rise and fall. The second our eyes locked in my backyard, the flash of Shorty I initially dismissed but still rang true through every fiber of my being. She knows you. The long looks we shared across every space to the minute we snapped on that float before we collided and were created. The same continuous buzz thrumming steadily as we stole glances of each other between the flip of pages as storms raged outside my window. Her fingers tracing my skin, wonder in her eyes, to running my palm reverently over her back, in awe of the heart that beat inside of her, wrapped in her mystery. To the burst of sun that lit her up in my passenger seat as she adjusted her honeysuckle crown. The laughter spilling from us where she lay beneath me, tangled in the sheets before our smiles faded. Hearts raw and aching as we locked together, lost in our connection, chests bouncing in unison due to the tie that bound us, that still binds us. A fate we created together. A story I'll continue to relive without regret. Falling for her was worth hitting bottom, and every single ache that comes with it. Reaching out, I traced the curve of her cheek. You gutted me, baby, I croak in confession as my chest caves. But I can't say I don't deserve it. I falter, grunting through the pain consuming me. You thrive on love, and I. We fucking starved your heart. We just left you here. Crushed by the weight of that truth, I lift her hand and thread my fingers through hers. We both know I didn't deserve you, but you made me feel like I did, even if I wouldn't fucking hold your hand. I was going to try to be that guy. I was that guy. I slide my thumb along hers, the burn unbearable. I would give fucking anything for one more day. Just one. She doesn't stir, her hand lifeless in mine, breaths shallow but steady as she lays beneath me, looking every bit the sleeping beauty she is. But her eyes won't open for me because they're no longer mine to lose myself in. No more escape. No more fire and water to drown out the noise. No more flame. No more rain. No longer mine. Cracking wide, I bend over her, pressing my forehead to hers. I'm sorry. Feeling the shatter of finality, I press a salty, damp kiss to her temple. My whisper for her ear, my last confession. Far, far too late. I love you too, Cecilia. No more rain. 44. After 20 years of observing alcoholism, I finally fucking understand the why of it. Drunk brings with it a state of numbness I hadn't realized I could reach so easily. I can now appreciate how it helps to lessen the pain by blurring reality. A reality where I stand in the garage surrounded by birds and a celebration I want no fucking part of. Another homecoming party, bringing me full circle in this living hell. A reminder of the day it started. The day I locked eyes with the woman who's forever altered me for better and worse. The birds gathering around us pop beers, cracking smiles and chattering noisily. Most of them are oblivious to the soul-crushing karma Sean and I have endured the last 2 days, where I exist in a present I can't handle. A present only made bearable for the moment thanks to the half-drained pint in my hand. As I dwell in it, the future ticks on by the second. Its taunt is cruel and unforgiving. Cecilia was right. When you don't demand anything from life, that's exactly what it delivers. Nothing. I never asked this life for anything, but took everything it denied me. That tactic worked for me just fine. Something my brother and I share in common, along with our taste in women. I told my brother Triple Falls was mine, but as of now, I no longer want to play my part. I can't even imagine what a life outside of the club would look like, but the question remains, how in the fuck are we supposed to resume our roles, our lives? Tobias stole the one thing that made mine bearable, but in doing so, he finally discovered the value of something he practically forbade us all to take part in. Love. His rattled expression last night and panic-filled pleas to put Cecilia first were all too familiar because they mimicked the panic I felt when I was worried about his reaction, mostly of his reception and treatment of her. An ironic laugh escapes me, getting lost in the crowd, but it doesn't go unnoticed by Sean, who nudges me from where he stands beside me. What's so funny? Nothing you would find humor in. I retort, taking another mind-numbing pull from my bottle before offering it to him. He shakes his head, full beer in hand, surveying the party. Let's shut this bullshit down, he says. I'm not feeling this. You should celebrate. You're your own boss now. I still can't fucking believe it. Any of it, he sighs, eyeing the bottle I'm rapidly draining. I can. Sean's head whips toward me as I stare back at him, unflinching, and his gaze hardens. Don't tell me you're going to let this go. I can't believe you went through with it. It occurred to me, as I drove away from Cecilia last night, the possible why Tobias would go to such lengths and mark her. I relayed as much to Sean this morning.
You really think it's Antoine?
Has to be. Antoine is the only one that can instill that kind of fear in him. Swig. Even if he's not, the ink will protect her. But if that piece of shit ever discovers Tobias has a weakness, and Tobias doesn't heal when commanded, she'll be his first target, I relay grimly. A long minute passes, and I know that Sean's doing his best to accept it and make peace with what he can before he speaks up.
I don't think I can forgive him, Dom.
Scrutinizing me, he takes a long drag of his smoke. Then don't. But if we're being 100, he was right about a lot of what he said. We could have and should have done so much shit differently.
We did it to protect him.
That's fair, but he's no more guilty than we are.
Fuck no. He purposely what?
What exactly did he do that was so different? Fall in love with a woman he wasn't supposed to fall for? Put his life and our club in jeopardy? Lie to his brothers about it and do what he could to keep her by deceiving her? I look over to him. Sound fucking familiar?
It's different. It's not.
It's not different.
I can't believe you're taking up for him. He knew we loved her.
That might be the only thing you can justifiably hate him for, but you fucking know a lot of what he called us out for was true. Reason away all you fucking want, but I'm not feeling any of them, he states in blunt delivery. A loud clatter erupts, and we look over to see Jeremy flailing as Russell pummels him playfully. Sean manages to crack a smile as I pin him with my next question. You were serious, weren't you, when you said you wanted to marry her? His eyes dart to me, and I can see the answer without him voicing it. I just wanted to love her. I hear the crack in his voice, even over the noise surrounding us. I just wanted it to be okay to fucking love her without the guilt. You're justified now. I tilt the bottle toward him. But I can't fight with you about him. I'm exhausted, Sean. My vision blurs briefly and I shake my head to clear it. He cups the back of his neck and nods. It's your choice, I relay in whatever tone I manage to muster. It's your choice to honor your ink or to walk away. I'm with whatever decision you make. A long silence follows as he turns back to me. Can you forgive him? Not tonight, I answer, polishing off the bottle before lighting up my blunt. Jesus, you're on a mission, huh? He remarks, eyeing the bottle dubiously. I shrug. I've recently found myself in the position of having absolutely no fucks to give. He lights up again and exhales a plume of smoke, scanning the garage. You think he was right? You think we're a bunch of fucking idiots parading around like soldiers, taking Halloween dress up too far? I finish and he nods. All the time, I shrug, but I always come back to the same conclusion. What's that? He asks, tone contemplative, and I know why. Why not us? He nods in understanding as we both ponder, clipping our wings for the first time. As if sensing our collective predicament, Tyler catches my eyes where he stands feet away. I lift my chin to him, knowing he's here in silent support, knowing he'd rather be somewhere else. Tyler had scraped us from the floor of the bay yesterday after Tobias left and whisked us to Delphine's. We were so fucked up after the day's events that we'd forgotten we were temporarily homeless. But as of this morning, the three of us are commiserating together. While Sean and my annihilations were swift, Tyler's happiness will be stolen by the day. Delphine's last scan results came back and her brief remission is over. The stars have been generous in doling out more future, and I curse every one of those motherfuckers for their unapologetic theft from Tyler and for allowing me a glimpse of heaven I can't steal back. Tilting my bottle in defiance of them, I softly whisper, "Fuck you." Pain spikes, and the consumed liquor attempts but fails to dissolve it in time as it spreads like the thrumming bass through the bay. Getting swept in by the threatening burn, it's the sudden thwack ringing out through the bay, cutting through the noise, that brings me somewhat back into the present. Tyler whips his head in our direction as all of us perk. It's when the crash rings out again, the shatter of glass registering, that Tyler races into the lobby. The music is cut abruptly, and all movement ceases as every bird in the garage postures up, their attention on the bay door just as Tyler announces the source from where he stands in the lobby. It's Cecilia, and she doesn't fucking look happy. Another crash and shatter outside has Sean's eyes darting to mine before he stalks toward the door, speaking up. I've got it. Tyler joins him, and just as Sean lifts it, glass shatters inches from his face. He shields himself at the last second, expelling a, Jesus, fuck! Cecilia hurls more bottles toward us, and a few birds manage to dodge them as I flick my blunt. Sean takes a step toward her as her eyes dart from him to me. A flash of hurt flits through her livid gaze when she sweeps my whiskey-muted profile. Layla speaks up, caution in her voice, as she tries to reason with her while stunned by the state of her.
Cecilia? Baby, what's going on?
Layla, who's not in the know about any of what's transpired in the last 24 hours, looks between Sean and me.
What did you fuckers do?
The better question is, what haven't we done to her? The look of disgust in Cecilia's expression, the wrath in her posture, says it all as she darts her focus around, betrayal and vengeance warring in her eyes. I know the feeling, baby.
Don't bother,
she snaps in response to Layla's gentle coaxing.
Don't pretend to give a damn about me. You know I didn't have a choice.
Layla replies in a guilt-riddled tone.
Oh, bullshit. You had a choice. You chose them, and guess what? You deserve them. I'm sorry. Save it. You've all made your point. I think it's time I made one of my own.
Lifting the gas can in her hand, she pours the rest of it into a large puddle in front of her, which serves as a barrier between us and the idling Jeep behind her. Between the beam of the headlights behind her and the light in the garage, I drink in every detail as the consumed whiskey fails to stifle the budding ache. What the fuck are you doing? Sean snaps, surveying the damage to our lot as she lifts a bottle, rags soaked. Tyler speaks up next, just as taken aback. Jesus Christ, Cecilia, what the hell are you doing?
Who did it?
She demands, as confusion sets in as to why Tobias went through with it, and apparently didn't cop to it. Sean takes another step forward as she lifts the bottle in threat.
Take another step before I get my answer, and I'll light this and we'll all see where it lands. Don't fucking push me, Sean.
Put it down, Sean orders, stunned by her wrath, but I know better. Have known.
Who did this to me?
Even as she declares war on us, inciting a one-person riot, tossing accusations, I know she's barely scratched the surface of who she'll eventually become. She looks so goddamned beautiful, even in her rage-induced state, that no amount of buzz can dull that. Pride floods me as she refuses to back down, even as she hurls accusations and insults between Sean and me. Whoosh, 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 whoosh.
You want me? Here I fucking am.
Whoosh, 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 whoosh.
Speak up, and you can come get your fucking prize.
With that, she strikes a Zippo in thread as Sean calls out to her in panic. Cecilia, don't!
I can see it all over her. She has no intention of listening. Pushing off the wall, I start to move toward her, birds parting, a few of them tossing insults and ill-timed jokes at her expense.
Bitch has lost her mind. You must have dicked her good, Dom.
Fixed on her, I steadily make my way toward her as they start to realize what she did before announcing her arrival.
What the fuck? She slashed our fucking tires!
Raising a hand to shut them up, I keep my pace as she zeroes in on me with her threat.
I swear to God, Dominic, I'll light this place up.
Of that I have no doubt, baby.
Stop!
She orders, and I do.
Why?
She looks between us.
Why?
She turns then, giving us a view of her fresh ink. In my peripheral, I see Sean stiffen as the sight of it nauseates me, and she hurls more insults.
Cowards! You're both fucking cowards!
She lashes between us before delivering a guttural blow.
I was never yours, and I never will be. Stay the fuck away from me!
Hurt leaks through that declaration even as she seethes, and it's evident Tobias isn't going to be forgiven anytime soon. Good. Give him hell, baby. Tyler looks to me for any clue as to how to handle this, but we created and nurtured the raven within her, and it's starting to spread its wings as her ink settles in. That isn't something that can just be handled. Ha. You are so fucked, big brother. Question is, why isn't Tobias here to clean up his own fucking mess? Even as I think it, an unsettling inkling kicks in. Something's not right. Tobias wouldn't just mark her and abandon her. Not a second later, the hairs on my neck lift as buzzes and pings sound around me. Cecilia, too consumed by her tirade, continues to rage feet away. Tyler barks my name, and I pause my footing a second before he presses his burner to my ear, my brother's voice ringing out.
Miami took a fucking contract on Roman. Get her somewhere safe. Miami is coming.
The adrenaline spike has me rushing her just as she tosses the cocktail down in a puddle of gas, igniting it and blocking me with a wall of flames. Jumping through them, they lick my forearms before I break through to see her already in her Jeep. Lunging forward, I manage to slam my fists on her hood for a second before it disappears beneath them, and she tears out, racing away.
Fuck. Whoosh, whoosh. Whoosh, whoosh.
In an instant, Tyler is next to me inspecting my skin, and I jerk away, knowing the damage is minimal, as he starts to shout orders at the birds already scrambling around us. Use whatever you can! Tyler speaks rapidly into his phone as my heartbeat ramps, filling my ears. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Came here in a rage, asking who fucking marked her, T. She shredded every tire and threatened to light the place up. She looked fucking possessed, man. Why doesn't she know? Where the fuck have you been? Whoosh, whoosh. Whoosh, whoosh. A long pause follows, and I know my brother is rapidly relaying a worthy explanation. As ruthless as he is, he wouldn't have left Cecilia so exposed if he didn't have a choice. Even as my brain reasons in his favor, I feel the resentment simmering beneath. Dom, Tyler says, stretching the phone out to me. Don't we have a track on her Jeep? I ask, and Tyler jerks his chin. The fuck? Why? They were living together, Tyler says on harsh exhale. At Roman's. Sean visibly flinches from where he stands a foot away as I snatch the phone and curse the fact that I'm too drunk to fucking function properly. What the fuck is going on? Dom? The panic in his voice has my fear elevating. Listen to me, I'm begging you. Listen to me. I'm listening. Roman didn't do it. He didn't kill Maman and Papa. I got it all wrong. Jesus Christ! What? Whoosh, whoosh. Whoosh, whoosh. Dom, are you there? I'm here, I say as my focus flits to Tyler and Sean, who can hear every shouted word, their wide eyes glued to me as I put the phone on speaker. Roman didn't do it. Whoosh, whoosh. Whoosh, whoosh. How do you know? I ask, my voice barely audible. Because he just fucking told me. What? The ground starts to feel like it's moving beneath me as my breaths become labored while the weight of his words sink in. My head starts spinning with answered questions while more begin to circulate. Dom! Yeah, I croak as he talks over me and I pinch my temples, a headache forming behind them. His office. Roman knew we were coming for him, Dom. He's fucking known. Tyler, Sean, and I stare in disbelief at the burner in my hand. It was an accident, Tobias says, tone rattled. Dom, it was Diane. She was pregnant with Cecilia. Roman didn't do it. Why would he allow us near her? Why would he? I gape at the phone as the answer snakes its way in. Because we couldn't even fool our fucking enemy of our affection for his daughter. What confounds me just after that is that he was never our enemy. Head racing as the missing pieces we've been searching years for lock into place, the first car fires up feet away. Turning toward the sound, I spot Jeremy speeding past us and out of the parking lot, flying in the direction Cecilia fled. As another car fires up, Denny shouts orders along with Russell as they call out a map of roads to search and set blocks on. Keep your goddamn phones close, Tyler shouts as a final order before starting his truck and waving toward me. Get in. You're fucking drunk. Dom, Tobias shouts over the phone. Brother, I'm begging you, talk to me. I hear you, is all I can say as panic rises and emotions start to burn away at my alcohol-laced blood by the second. I'm in Roman's car, Tobias relays, and I catch on to why. He's trying to lure them in. I'm following, I tell him as I desperately try to break through the whiskey haze. I can't speed or they'll suspect we're onto them. That's if they're not already here. We're flying completely blind. I have no clue who ordered the hit, and the two birds on watch said they don't know how long they've been missing. They followed them home last night and must have slipped out undetected this morning. I'm going to try to lure them in. Alarm shoots through me as panic sets in for him. As I go to speak my objection, he beats me to it. Don't send a single bird to me. She's all that matters, Dom. Do you hear me? I don't matter. Find her! My anger abates a little because I feel just as fucking helpless right now. My brother is begging me to help save the woman we both love. It's right up there with the other worst few seconds of my life, when we were told we were both all we had left. That was the case up until Cecilia Horner. The pain thrums, and it's then I know. No matter how this ends, everything has already changed and we can never go back. Tell Denny to unpack. Everything. Every fucking thing we have. Do you hear me? Sean nods, having heard it as I take the phone off speaker. Pulling out my keys, I hold them out to him as I do my best to cut through the slow-motion haze I'm stuck in. I've got two spares in my trunk, I tell Sean. Get mine going and have Denny grab everything we lifted from the warehouse. Sean turns without a word, his expression mixed. Taking the passenger side of Tyler's truck as my brother shouts in order and plea, I watch Sean retreat and briefly close my eyes at what he must be feeling. He dedicated his life to helping us avenge our parents' murders and gave up the love of his life to help us see the quest through. And now he knows it was all an accident. So does Tyler. Staring after Sean as he pops my trunk, I have to believe he'll forgive us and reason that the ink still means something. That the purpose we spun from where it stemmed is enough to hold him, not to regret his ink any more than he does right now. That he'll forgive us both for our ignorance and pointless vendetta, along with the fact that he could have loved her freely, without guilt, and so could I. It's that blow that nearly does me in, but the fear for her and what she's been put through, for our parents' fucking mistakes, has me tensing at Tyler's side with my request. Take me to Delphine's. Without a word, he nods and tears out of King's as I lift the phone to my ear.
I have to find her, Dom, brother. Please.
The terror in my brother's voice has me sobering considerably as we speed out of the parking lot. I'm here. Start from the beginning. And now, here is my secret. A very simple secret. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Le Petit Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. 45. Intuition isn't something I've been granted the same way others have, a gift that sparks up at certain times for guidance. It's never been that way for me. For the entirety of my life, it's been my daily fuel and has never failed me. Not once. The thing that's kept me exactly where I need to be. In the right places, at the right times. So how did I get here? How in the fuck did I get here? By ignoring my intuition long before I allowed myself to fall. By blurring the sand streaming through the hourglass to multiply it, make it last, even as I saw it slipping away. By playing deaf to every whispered sign and instead reveling in the fire she ignited inside my heart. By ignoring the roar of warning that told me to hand her the gun, tossing it instead, if only to dim some of the fear in her eyes. A look I feared all along. A look that comes with the knowledge of what I'm truly capable of. A look that told me she was finally convinced that I was the bad guy I told her I was. A look of terror that ate me alive as she cowered from me when I entered her bedroom. In mere seconds, I recognized the realizations I had failed to protect her from. The truth that this was never a game and we hadn't exaggerated the stakes, but underplayed them. A look that told me she thought I would be the one to deliver those consequences. A look that annihilated me enough to toss my gun too far out of my reach. It was when her eyes cleared and she truly saw me as she had all those months ago that I was gifted those few precious seconds of exchange. A collection of minutes where I was able to confess my fears, apologize for my deceit, and finally deliver my ill-timed declaration wholeheartedly. Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, I've been in love. A declaration I fucking refused to hold inside another second, knowing it was too late, a confession that gave me a bittersweet sort of peace, along with the notion that one day I might be a worthy man deserving of the love I selfishly took. And now I'm standing front row and dead center to the consequence of feigning ignorance to those instincts. But in doing so, I was rewarded with a piece of paradise, a minute more with my ignorant bliss. And I took it. That's how I got here, even if my gun now resides in enemy hands. What brings you here, Mateo? It's a little late for company. I spike my tone enough that if Tobias is anywhere in the near vicinity, he'll come. But I feel the intuition I've overlooked one time too many kicking in as my entire being erupts in awareness. It's too late. Intent on keeping Mateo a safe distance from her, I engage in pointless back and forth while maintaining the focus of the monster in front of me. The threat in his eyes and posture looming mere feet away from the one thing I refuse to be robbed of. I've lost enough to life's hand. It doesn't get to have her. Feeling it when Cecilia emerges from her bedroom, I calmly tell her to step back. I don't want her seeing the depravity radiating from this motherfucker. Though alike in some ways, this sick fuck considers spilling blood a pleasure. We're entirely different in that respect. At least I have that. Even if I can identify with him in a few ways, I won't lose sleep over spilling his blood. For her, I'll become the goddamn boogeyman. Mateo reads as much in my eyes, of that I'm sure, even as he threatens her in an attempt to rattle me. Before I can take another step, Tobias sounds up behind me. What's good, brother? Got this handled? I relay before asking Mateo about his brother's whereabouts, my confidence in Tobias. Refusing to think about the half dozen ways this has already gone wrong, I'm reassured when I hear Tobias address Cecilia to come to him. Just as relief briefly filters in, Andre's voice sounds. The three of them go back and forth in meaningless exchange as Tobias tries to reason with me to wait, but I voice my objection because of what I know and see, no longer ignoring my instincts. It's so fucking clear in Mateo's eyes that he's salivating for this. That makes two of us, motherfucker. Knowing I can take this piece of shit out through sheer will alone, whether he has the advantage or not, I assure Tobias I can. It's the threat behind the front door that I'm wary of. It's going to take time, even at top speed, for our birds to get here. When Tobias snaps at Andre to back off, I take another step down, separating the monster from her. With each one, I feel the chains that have bound me start to strain and break, one by one. Cecilia is at the forefront of my mind. The noise surrounds me, the collective screams of the other innocents I've sworn to avenge propelling me forward. Getting lost in the void of the eyes staring back at me, adrenaline starts to take over. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. This monster is going to pay for them all, even as my brother pleads with me, and I assure him there's no deal to be made. This was inevitable, and another unmistakable inkling tells me that I knew it well before now. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. It's Cecilia's call that stops me from embracing the dark, snaking its way into me. Focusing on her, I allow myself the chance to tell her that, briefly, she gave me a glimpse of a happiness I hadn't thought I was capable of. Cecilia, I address firmly, my heart lurching into the rhythm she created. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Tobias attempts to cut in, calling my name, but I refuse him. I'm talking to Cecilia.
Yes?
She replies, voice shaking with fear. After this, want to watch a movie? Ignoring any outside noise beyond our exchange, I tell her of the memory that kept me going in France. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Of a time I felt complete and whole. You can make that cheddar popcorn I love, and we can crowd under that blanket that smells like... What's that smell?
Lavender.
She releases in a shaky rush. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Of a life we might have had if I didn't have so many fucking monsters to slay. Yeah. And I'll watch a chick movie because all I really want to do is watch you watch it. Your face gets all dopey when you get love drunk. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. We love rainy days. Don't we, baby?
We do.
Tilting my head at Mateo in challenge, I make my declaration clear to Tobias to ready himself. We don't fucking negotiate with terrorists. Taking another step toward Mateo, Cecilia's voice reaches me in elevated panic.
Dominic!
What is it, baby?
S'il te plaît, ne fais rien de stupid. Je t'aime.
Please don't do anything stupid. I love you. Je sais. I know. Her declaration fuels me as I stand between her and the monster I swore to protect her from while her love sets me free. For a brief time, she was my solace, my reprieve, the only dream of a future I allowed myself to have, but she can't be. Not anymore. Too many monsters. Dominic, Tobias orders gruffly, stand down right fucking now. We're still talking. I feel the desperation in his order, in him, as he rattles behind me to stop and think it through. But I have, for far too long, and I'm finally 10 steps ahead. Sorry, brother. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Irony strikes me then that I've been waiting for what seems like a lifetime to start this war. But with my brother's confession about Roman, about Cecilia's mother, I waited in vain. As I inch closer, my intuition grants me a revelation that ignites me. All this time, I've been waiting to pull the trigger. When I am the fucking trigger. Feeling the truth of that to my core, I lift my chin, eyes mirroring the black gaze of the monsters I've battled my whole life and everything they represent. The system that set us all up for failure, that put us at war with each other as they watched on in amusement while creating more power-hungry predecessors. All of it's there. The poverty, the pain, the suffering, the division, and all for one thing that has never been successfully bought or retained in human history. Control. It ends here and starts here. I might not be able to take them all out, but this fucking monster is mine. With a head full of vengeance and a heart fueled by blue fire, I feel the last chain break free as I take my next step and engage the abyss. Care to dance? Honored, my friend, the evil replies. Make it a good one. Dominic, no! White, hot pain blinds me as it shoots through my limbs as I'm struck forward by another bullet, this one ripping through my shoulder. My eyes find Cecilia, relief covering me to see her whole and untouched as a wave of pain blinds me, and I reach for her. A second later, she's in my arms as I collapse against the wall, fire circulating in my belly as a chill skitters up my spine. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Pain takes hold, breaths hard-earned as Tobias appears, cursing while trying desperately to plug the holes running through me. Cecilia's cries drag me back to her as I take relief in seeing them both unscathed. Go. I tell them both with what energy remains as their words blur, my pulse slowing as the pain takes over. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Feeling myself slipping, Cecilia pleads for me to hold on, apologies pouring from her lips.
I'm sorry, baby. I'm so sorry.
Focusing on my brother, I see my fate solidify in his eyes and in return give him words I know he'll understand. Words that, deep down, he's always understood, and a truth I've always known.
Nous savions tous les deux que je n'allais jamais voir mes 30 ans, mon frère. Prends soin d'elle.